chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. First Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, and it reads, "As each one has received the gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Beloved,
well, Brother David took the words right out of my mouth. When I think about the blessings of coming together as God's people to worship. And I think so often we take it for granted, but as we were worshiping, my heart was just overjoyed to think that God's people can meet and bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. What a great privilege. Amen. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And even as we pray, I would ask that you pray for Craig and Sue Svensson. You know, we found out just recently that their son Eric died this past week. So even as we bow our heads, let's pray for the Svensons. They were with us for several years here at Faith Baptist Church, and we love them. Let's pray for them even this morning. Let's pray. Father, what a great privilege, what a great responsibility it is as we gather together as your people. Father, we realize that worship is a gift of your grace. It's tied directly to our Savior Jesus Christ, and because of his suffering and death, because of his resurrection, because even now he intercedes for us, we can come into your presence, God, in worship. Thank you for the work of Jesus. Thank you for the person of Jesus Christ. And Father, as we even look into your word this morning, may our focus be on Jesus. May that focus go to Jesus, to you, for your glory. So help us as we study. Give us an understanding of your word. Give us a clearness of thinking. Father, please block out from our minds and thoughts things that would move us away from you and your truth, and change us for your glory. And God, we're reminded of your faithful work in our lives. We think of Craig and Sue this morning. Yes, Lord. We lift them up to you. And God, as a body of believers who are meeting right now, together in our minds, with our voices, with our words and our prayer, we bring this family before you. And God, we ask that they would be comforted by your presence and by your power and by your great promises. And God, we know you've made a promise that you will indeed sanctify them, sanctify us, and you use all things to do that. May their trust and confidence and hope be in you, and may their witness for you be clear and strong in this time of sorrow. Help them, Father, we pray. Help us now to focus on this truth that's before us, that we might truly become more and more like Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 I want to read again 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Listen carefully. The words are on the screen, so you can listen and look at the same time. Peter says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, I tried to move to the next paragraph in 1 Peter chapter 4. That would have been verses 12 through 19. And we'll go there next week in our time together, Lord willing. But I'm pulled back this morning to these verses that are before us. I even said last week in the sermon that verses 10 and 11 deserve a whole sermon. And so you have to watch out what you say, because now there's a whole sermon here on these two verses. And frankly, we need it. I need it. I need these reminders, this truth from God through the Apostle Peter. So let's remember the context before we begin to look in some detail at these verses. Remember, the context of this book is suffering. Christians in Peter's day are suffering because they are Christians. They're facing hardship and difficulties and sufferings because they are God's people. They are pilgrims and aliens and sojourners on this earth. They were once not a people, but now are the people of God who have received mercy. And because they are the people of God, because they are followers of Jesus Christ, they're suffering. Now, Peter wants to encourage them, and to do that, he reminds them of a very blessed truth, the truth that we looked at last week in our time together. Look at verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, because he says to them, and he says to us, but the end of all things is near. The end of all things is at hand. In other words, the coming of the Lord Jesus is drawing near. The return of Jesus is closer today than it was yesterday. Now let that move through your thoughts for a moment, because see, we talked about this last week. We talked about the coming of Jesus Christ, and now another week has passed. And so the coming of Jesus is closer today than it was last Sunday. And when Jesus comes, see, here's why that Peter brings this truth before these believers, before us today. When Jesus comes, the suffering and the persecution and the hardship and the struggle as Christians will end. And because the coming of Jesus is near, then that should move us to live in a certain way. See, that truth of the coming of Jesus always should move us to live in a different way. And what Peter does here, he gives us three directions in how to live. See, that's what we looked at last week. He says that we should be serious and watchful in our prayers, verse 7. He says that we should be fervent in love for one another, verses 8 and 9. And we should use our spiritual gifts, verses 10 and 11. So we think about these three commands by Peter. They actually summarize Christian living. He gives them in the light of the coming of Jesus Christ. The end is near. Jesus is coming back. And so they really summarize the way that we should be living right now. You see, first of all, there's prayer, and that speaks of our relationship with God. And second, there is love, and that speaks of our relationship with others. And third, there is service, and that speaks of our relationship to one another in the church. And so in the light of the return of Jesus Christ, even now we may be suffering, and we may be going through hard, difficult situations because we're Christians. In the light of the return of Jesus Christ, our lives then can be condensed into these three areas: our close relationship with God, our loving relationship with others, and our faithful life of service in the church with God's people. So this morning, let's look at this life of service. Let's look at this third area of direction that Peter gives. Let's focus on 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. There is truth here that will help us and encourage us this morning. The first truth that will help us is this. You have received a gift. You have received a gift. Look what Peter says in verse 10. He says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So notice first that Peter says, as each has received a gift, you have received a gift. Now remember here that he's speaking to Christians and he shares this truth. Folks, step back just for a moment, because what he's telling us is that every Christian has a special gift. Every Christian has a special gift. Every Christian. You do. I do. Every Christian does. Peter says, as each one has received a gift. Now these are spiritual gifts. These are spiritual abilities, and every Christian has one. Hold your place in 1 Peter chapter 4 and turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's see how the Apostle Paul describes these spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now we know that Paul's talking about spiritual gifts here, because look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 1, because he starts in verse 1 and he says, now concerning spiritual gifts. Literally, he says, now concerning the spirituals. And then when we look at further statements in this, in the context, we see that he's talking about gifts, spiritual gifts. Look at verse 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, because Paul says here that there are diversities or varieties of gifts. Now I want you to begin to put these things together as we look at the words of Paul and as we bring this together with what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7. Paul says here that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So again, we're putting some truth together here. Peter says each one has received a gift. Paul says here in verse 7 that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. You see, folks, that means that every believer has a Spirit-given spiritual gift or ability that is to be used within the body of Christ, the church, for the profit or for the benefit of everyone in the body. Pretty amazing when you really think about it. That God has gifted, God has given every believer this special enablement, this special ability, this spiritual gift to be used within the body of Christ. Look at verse 11. Paul says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And so Paul reminds us here then that God the Spirit decides who has what gift. God has chosen that. God has given that. The Spirit distributes to each one individually as He wills. Look at verse 12. Paul says, for as the body, and right here he's talking about the human body, he's using an illustration of the human body to bring these truths together. Look what he says, for as the body, the human body, is one and has many members. See, many parts of the human body, many members. He says, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. See, that's the human body. There's a oneness to the human body. There's a diversity to the human body. There's a functional diversity. One body, many parts, many members of the human body. That's the picture he's giving these Corinthians and giving us today. But all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. And then he says, look at this. Don't miss this. Look at this. He says, so also is Christ. He didn't say, so also is the church, though he's talking about the body of Christ. He didn't say, so also is the body of Christ. Look carefully. This is important. He says, so also is Christ. Christ. Now let's stop here for a moment, because this folks, this is important when we think about spiritual gifts, when we think about our lives today and our relationship to the body of Christ. Because you see, I've heard people say to me that I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and they'll say something like, but I don't go to church, or I don't need the church, or I don't meet with the church, or I don't want anything to do with the church. And see, what Paul reminds us here, and this is why this is so vital, you cannot separate Christ from the church. Because the church is the body of Christ. And it's amazing to me, even in this illustration, when Paul here is describing spiritual gifts, and he's describing the human body as an illustration, and he's talking about the body of Christ, he comes right to the end of this statement, and he says, so also is Christ. So see, I would declare very clearly to you this morning that we as believers need to be ever, ever so careful. We need to be knowledgeable. Amen. We need to understand that you look around at people here today who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ and who are connected to God through Jesus Christ, who are indwelt, who have the Spirit of Christ in them. Christ is in them. They are connected to Christ. The Apostle Paul, he says it here. Luke actually records it in the book of Acts. He says the same thing. You cannot separate Christ from the church. Amen. And therefore, we have to be careful when we say, well, I don't need the church, or I don't need to meet with the church, or I don't need to be together with Christians. You know what you're saying? I don't need Christ. I don't need the body of Christ. That's why it's so important. Because you can't separate Christ from the church. And Paul gives us that truth in this little statement. So also is Christ. Now let's bring this together. We're thinking about these spiritual gifts. We're thinking about service within the body. God the Spirit gives to each believer a spiritual gift or spiritual ability. And see, we can say it's universal on one hand, and it's also individual on the other hand. It's universal and it's individual. So all believers have a gift or ability given by God, so it's universal. All believers have this spiritual gift. A spiritual gift determined by God. And every believer then has his or her unique special gift that is determined by God to be used in the church or in the body of Christ for the benefit of all. And so it's individual. It's universal because every believer has a gift, and it's individual because every believer has their own gift to be used within the body of Christ. So then we ask ourselves, so what's the source of these spiritual gifts or these spiritual abilities? Where do they come from? And we've actually said it several times. We've seen it in the writings of Paul and Peter. So if you're back, go back to 1 Peter chapter 4. Hold your place in 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to be moving back and forth. But Peter says in 1 Peter 4:10, and again the words are on the screen if you need that. He says, as each one has received a gift. So we've received a gift. Now, if we've received a gift, let's think through this. That means somebody gave us a gift. If we've received it, someone gave it to us. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We didn't pray for it. We didn't plead for it. We didn't pursue it. We didn't work it up within ourselves. God gave it to us. He gave us the gift. So go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's how Paul says it. I'll start with verse 4 and I'll read through verse 7, and that way we can put it all together. He says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So look at this. Folks, the whole Trinity is involved. That in itself should tell us, wow, this is important. And this is vital in our lives. It's so important we understand this. The whole Trinity is involved in giving the gifts. The whole Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit is involved in the giving of these gifts. And so the main point is this, that the source is God. See, this comes from God. Look at verse 11, 1 Corinthians 12:11. Paul says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Look at verse 18. 1 Corinthians 12:18. He says it this way, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. You see that? This is from God. God does this. So the source of these gifts is God, and they can't be sought or bought or earned or worked for. They are freely given by God. Freely given by God. So then we ask ourselves, well, what's the nature of these gifts? Well, back to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, Peter says they're gifts. See, think about that. They're gifts. The word that he uses there is charisma. Comes from the Greek word charis, which is grace. These are grace gifts. Gifts of God's grace. So it's undeserved and it's unearned. It's free. It's given. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit that is given freely to each believer. It's an amazing truth. And even if you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking through this, what a blessed truth to realize that God has given me a gift. And it's come from God. It's not come from me and it's not worked up from me, but God has given me a gift. And God has given you a gift freely. Undeserved, unearned, God has given this to you and to me. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit given freely to each of us. So we put this together, this gift, this spiritual ability that each one of us has is motivated by the grace of God. It's given sovereignly and freely to every believer. It's controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so your spiritual gift and my spiritual gift is a graciously given, free, supernatural ability for ministry to the body of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit then supernaturally uses you and me to minister to the body of Christ, the church. Amen. So I have a spiritual gift, and I use it to minister to you. And you have a spiritual gift, and you use it to minister to me. And we minister to one another, and we serve one another with this special supernatural ability that God has given to us. And see, God has done this. And folks, we're not talking here about human talent. We're talking about divine enablement. See, your spiritual gift and my spiritual gift is a unique ability to minister to the body of Christ as the Spirit of God flows through you and flows through me. And then that means, again, we're back to 1 Peter chapter 4, that means that you and I have an obligation with this gift. Notice how Peter says it. Do you see it? He says in verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So think about it. We have each received this gift. Now, what is our obligation? What's our response to God giving us this gift? Here it is. Use it. Use this gift. Use it for one another. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, use it for the profit of all. Use it for the benefit of all. You see, these spiritual abilities that God gives us, they are not self-centered. They're not for us. They're for the whole body. They're for the whole church. Now see, in one way you could say, well, yeah, that's for the universal church and that's for the whole church. But you know, Paul was writing to a specific church. He was writing to a specific group of people, this church in Corinth, and he says it's for the benefit of all, for everyone in the church. That's why he gives those gifts, for the benefit of all. Paul says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 6. He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. And so your gift was given to you for the common good. Your spiritual ability was given to you to benefit the whole body. And folks, that means that you can't cease to use it, and you can't ignore it without it having an adverse effect on the whole body. And so if you say to yourself, I don't need the church, and I don't need to meet with the church, and I don't need to serve in the church, and I don't need to be involved in the church, then you are wrong. You're walking down an error of falsehood. Because you are needed. You're a part of the church. Let's get very personal. You're a part of this church. See, God sets the members in this church as He pleases. And you're a part of this church. And you are to use the gifts that God gives you for the benefit of this church. Now believe me, there is a higher benefit, there's a higher goal in all this, and Peter tells us what that goal is. But yet we need to understand these truths. So look again at verse 10. Since God gave us this gift, that means, here's how Peter says it, it means that we are stewards of the manifold grace of God, or stewards of the varied grace of God. A steward is a manager. A steward is not an owner. A steward is a servant who is entrusted with the property that belongs to another. And so you have a master, you have an owner, and the owner then gives trust, gives responsibility of his property to someone else to take care of it and to manage it. Jesus used that oftentimes in the Gospels to illustrate truth about service. And yet, the Apostle Peter brings us back to that, and he says, we are stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know what that means? That means this gift is not ours. Amen. I mean, it's given to us, but we don't own it. Amen. It's a gift. It's given to us to use it. To give it back to others. See, we're stewards. Stewards. We're accountable for their use. You know, I look at that word steward, and as I was reviewing this week and going over it, my thought went in this direction. You know what that means? That I'm going to stand before the owner, and he's going to say to me, how did you use your gift? Oh, wow. How did you use your gift? I gave it to you freely. You didn't deserve it. I gave it to you. And I gave it to you to use within the body. How did you use your gift? How are you using your gift? So we're accountable for their use. A steward is accountable to his master and how he uses what the master gives. And whatever they are, whatever the gifts are, in their great variety and distinctiveness, we must use them. See, Peter says here that we are stewards, he says it, of the manifold grace of God, or the varied grace of God. That just tells us that these gifts given by the grace of God, they are they're multifaceted, multicolored, many-faceted, manifold in their character. Which means that God gives you a gift, and it's going to be different than the gift He gives me. And even if He would give you the same gift that He gives me, it's still going to be varied because you are you and I am I. Amen. Or I am me. Yeah, I am me. Okay. My gift is not speaking English. So they're varied. They're multifaceted. Which means they're distinct and different in how they're used or what they look like in each person. But they're still from the grace of God. Amen. See, the varied grace of God. So then here's how Peter helps us. You have received a gift, and each one of us as Christians have been given this many-faceted, multi-varied grace gift of God to use within the body of Christ, the church, for the benefit of all. Now there's a second help he gives us. So look at verse 11. A second help he gives us. We'll put it in the form of a question. So how do we use these gifts? How do we use them? In verse 11, Peter says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So Peter here then, in verse 11, as we see it, he gives us an idea of some specific gifts. Actually, he mentions two areas of giftedness. He says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. He says, if anyone ministers or serves, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. So Peter then mentions two kinds of gifts here, speaking gifts, serving gifts. Now, folks, there are many, many kinds of gifts. Many gifts. Remember, Peter says that they're manifold, they're varied. It's the grace of God that is in variety. In Romans chapter 12, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in Ephesians chapter 4, we have examples of spiritual gifts. And I'm not convinced that when Paul gives these examples that it's everything. It's a lot what he says and what he describes, and I'll leave it up to you to look at the lists and to examine those lists. But there are things like wisdom and knowledge and discernment and teaching and proclaiming and leadership and administration and mercy and helps and many, many, many others. And you can see it for yourself as you look at those scriptures. But when we look at the words of Peter, notice carefully whether it's speaking gifts or serving gifts, the source of this ability and function is God. And therefore, here's how Peter says it, and I'll just summarize it. When you speak or preach or proclaim or teach, speak the oracles of God. Amen. Speak the utterance of God, the Word of God, the oracles of God, what God says. And when you serve, in whatever ways that looks like, see, many faceted, varied, when you serve, you do that by the strength which God supplies. So these gifts of service must be from the strength and the ability that God provides, energized by the Spirit of God, walking by the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit. See, when you serve with the ability that God gives, then you must acknowledge your own weakness and your own insufficiency and your own inability, and you trust Him and believe Him and depend upon Him. Now, though these gifts are to us and through us and for us, there is, as I said before, a higher ultimate purpose in using these spiritual gifts within the body of Christ. Look at verse 11. Peter says that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now let's get the bigger picture here. Let's put it all together. So what then is the purpose of our close relationship with God? See, back to verse 7, prayer. What's the purpose of our close relationship with God? What's the purpose of our love for others? Verses 8 and 9. What's the purpose of our serving one another through the use of these God-given abilities and gifts? Verses 10 and 11. Peter says that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And so we suffer, we persevere, we endure, we pray, we love, we serve for the glory of God. So when we look at these verses, verses 10 and 11, they are clearly God-centered. Folks, these spiritual gifts are manifestations of God's manifold grace. Those who speak, speak the oracles of God. Those who serve, serve with the ability and strength that God gives, so that it all flows from God, ultimately back to God. From God to others, but ultimately back to God. See, that's how it works. And notice, Peter reminds us that this can only happen through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus. God can be glorified and exalted and worshiped and praised through Jesus. And folks, this can even happen when we suffer. Remember, he's writing to suffering Christians. These things can happen. We can actually serve others in the midst of suffering. We can do it. As a matter of fact, God designs us to do it. Because we may be a help and an encouragement to others who will suffer in the future, who are going through the same thing now. We can serve others in the midst of suffering. This can happen, folks, when our lives are hard and difficult. This can happen when we look to the coming of Jesus and we live a life of closeness to God and love for others and service to one another. See, I think we could say then that our lives as God's people flow from God to others and back to God, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And then notice in verse 11 that Peter ends this paragraph with this word of emphasis. What's his last word? Amen. Amen. So let it be. So let it be true in my life and in the lives of others. You see, all of life, all of it, is for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. So in closing, I ask you, so how do we respond to Peter's words? What's our response? First of all, you have a gift, a spiritual ability that is to be used in the body of Christ. And second, we learned use it. Be a steward of God's grace. Use it in the body of Christ. Use it. This ability that God has given to you, use it. And then third, the big question that always comes when we speak about spiritual gifts is usually this. Well, what is my gift? What is my gift? And the answer, my answer to you clear and plain is this. I don't know. I don't know what your gift is. But the second part of the answer is this. There's one way to find out. Get busy. Get busy in the body of Christ. Start serving. Start helping. Get busy because there are people, there are needs, there are ways to serve. Make yourself available in the body of Christ. And folks, God will show you what your gift is. And God will give you a knowledge and an understanding. And it might not be written across the sky. And you may not wake up in the middle of the night and say, I know what my gift is. See, those things may not happen. But yet God will give you joy and God will give you great peace as you give yourself to the body of believers by the strength and the power that God gives in service. God will do that. And you know, if you identify your gift, then praise God. But be careful. Be careful. Don't take a gift survey. Don't fill out a questionnaire that helps you find out what your gift is. Just be available. Get busy in the body of Christ. And God will show you, by His grace, His divine enablement as you serve. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word this morning. And as we take a moment, help us. Help us to contemplate just for this time your words through the Apostle Peter. Father, I pray that we walk away today with a greater understanding of you and your work among your people. God, help us simply to be servants and to be open and willing to be used wherever, whatever you would give. And Father, we recognize that we have the greatest example, our Savior, Jesus Christ. who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Thank you for Jesus. May we truly, progressively, Father, become more and more like him. To you belongs all glory in what you do and how you do it in our lives. May we respond now in obedience and humility. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. 550 in your hymnals, please. 550.